Welcome back to Mishpachas Take Two. There is not a week in the magazine that there's a topic that comes up again and again and again. The topic is Shaduchim, the economics of Shaduchim, the geography of Shaduchim, the social aspects of Shaduchim, the stigma associated with Shaduchim. It's an opportunity and somewhat of an honor and certainly a pleasure to sit with three of the most preeminent, experienced, not only most insightful Shadchanim I know, but really most compassionate Shadchanim I know, each one of them in their own way. Have not only seen it as a profession in the sense that they read and suggest Shaduchim and talk to people, but they've gone the extra mile in terms of helping those families reach home plate if it's a financial way, if it's in an emotional way. Each one of them is a good friend. It's a pleasure to welcome each of you. Thank you for being here. Start with the Kayan of Tzadik Katz, of Shlomo Lewinstein, and Rabbi Meir Levy. It's a pleasure to have you, really, to be sitting with all three of you. I guess I would want to know, just quickly, let us know. We'll start with the Tzadik, because what happens? How does somebody become a Shadchan? You wake up when you were 11 years old, you said, like, I want to be a Shadchan. What do you want to be when you grow up, Tzadik? A Shadchan. Like what makes somebody a Shadchan?
Yeah, I went to Shadchan school for a couple of years.
Harvard?
I became a Shadchan. It's really, there's no really rule on how to become a Shadchan. I knew a lot of people, and I was next door neighbors to Rabbi Lewinstein, and I once thought of an idea. I saw two people that look alike, and it happened to work. And then, I had a couple years that I would just...
Rabbi Lewinstein encouraged you or he discouraged you?
No, there's no way of knowing from Rabbi Lewinstein's reactions, if he liked it, if he didn't, but I kept on trying. And it sort of evolved over time. I was more of like a dabbler. I didn't actually read Shaduchim for the first couple years. I tried to really learn the skill. And then once it started, then it just comes rushing at you and there's no stopping, even if you want to stop.
But when you say rushing it, you mean out of a sense of achrayus, or because you get addicted to it, like in any profession, that you really get a rush?
In the beginning, there's a rush. Like a startup shadchanim, you get a rush out of a date. It's very exciting. And then over time, you lose the rush for the date. You get a rush for making shaduchim. And from the amount of people that need help, all of a sudden, if you put up a sign, you're a shadchan, you can have 100 people at your door, even if you don't know what a shaduch looks like. But over time, I do know a lot of people, even though I'm from Cleveland, and there's not so many people there. But I did have some kind of social. I like people, and over time, I had a good Rebbe, Rabbi Lewinstein. Rabbi Levy was still a little snobbing me out in the early days, but over time, it just evolved, and Baruch Hashem, I'm still here being a shadchan.
So it's a great question. Not sure myself how it got started. I think part of it was I got married younger than the rest of my chevra, and a little bit I was dabbling, and
meaning because you had a lot of single friends because you were young.
Yeah, I didn't know. I wasn't like a big people person. I didn't grow up seeing shidduchim read. I just somehow one shidduch worked out, and the next thing you knew, I was a shadchan. Those days were a lot different than today. There was no shadchanim in BMG. Mayer and I started around the same time, but it wasn't like today that the Yeah, it was before. So there wasn't so many shadchanim. It was, so people started coming over to me. And the next thing you knew...
But Bachur would come over and introduce themselves to you.
Yeah, or people said, I have a sister, I have a sister-in-law, a cousin, a neighbor. And in the beginning, I have to admit, I don't think I knew what I was doing. It was just a couple of lucky guesses. And, I got the hang of it and still doing it today.
Where are we leaving?
I started, Ezi Monk, who was a young man in yeshiva at that point, and yeshiva, came over to me and said he wanted to get a bunch of chevra together to become shadchanim because it was a need then. I mean, the need today is that much greater because there's not that many more shadchanim since those days, since us three. And he put together a whole bunch of young light to become shadchanim.
What made him to think like the people were suited?
Why he thought, I'm not sure what got him to, he wasn't involved, I mean, he was a little bit involved himself, but we got together a bunch of guys. We used to meet, I think, on Wednesday nights. Didn't last too long, and I'm the only one pretty much left standing from that group. And the first time I officially became a shadchan, I went to the Beis Medrash for 11 o'clock Maariv. I went over to, today he's married 20-something years, he has a daughter in Shaduchim himself. I said, I'm a shadchan. He said, can I have your mother's number? And that mother was from the nicest mothers to deal with. That got me started. So, it wasn't the first shidduch that I had read.
I always thought your father has a school, a very, very prominent school. I always thought like it was sort of a thing. Your father asked you to help out with the girls. It wasn't like that at all.
No, I mean, I had read my sister to my best friend. That was my first shidduch that I did. But But after
meaning even before you official shadchan, right, you always had a knack for this type of thing.
And the first few shadchan I did were not even in BMG. That was the cute thing, was the Neri Yisrael boys.
Really?
So the, but then slowly but surely, once you get started, and again, there have been times when you want to get out because it could be frustrating as anything, but you know, but the excitement when you do make a shadchan could carry on for, I mean, really? Everybody could agree to that probably.
And I imagine that the disappointment when you, it looks like you're about to make a shidduch and then it falls apart probably is
that's the times you want to get out
as well.
The insight is that if you could wake up in the morning and say I want to do this again, you could do it again. If it still bothers you the next morning, then you have a problem.
And we're talking about this question. I would love to hear from any of you on this. You started very early, I guess you're in the shortest but still a long time. Probably 15 years already. Are you doing this?
A little more
than 15 years, and both of you are. You're
25
close years. To 25 years, right?
Yeah. And
both of you, well. What would you say is the biggest change from 25 years ago till today? People more desperate? Is there more midas hadin involved? More panic? More? Because there's a lot of talk. Like I wrote in Mishpacha magazine, or any magazine, or any newspaper, or any website, there's so much hysteria about it.
There's that many more people. I mean, it's the
world. There's that many more boys as well. If that's
yes, but it's harder to go through all of them.
To just know everybody and... Does it work that when you make a shidduch in a family, like the next kid, you expect it to?
Yeah.
In Al Shadchan. I mean, I see one big change, like really a big change, is technology, obviously, is a different world.
Explain how technology impacts that.
Your resumes, cell phones, texting, WhatsApp.
Made it easier for you, probably.
Made it much easier. You could do so much more volume. Like an old grocery store, the guy had to type in every item, and now you can just scan 100
it's
items.
Quicker.
So just the volume.
But in a way, it makes you much more excited. You never are not on call now.
Right. So it comes also, you're much more chained down. But as I would say two huge changes were the technology and also the awareness and the groups that opened up to help different, you know, there's different subcategories of groups that help out specific or even large groups. Let's say Rabbi Bender and his son, you know, they got very involved in Lakewood helping out. Different organizations. I do think the out-of-town cities became much more active. So I think there's much more active and activity going on helping the shidduch.
And then, of course,
you have Rabbi Pragro, which, you know, we have to deal with him for many years, but he's definitely at the forefront.
His passion
of it.
And
yeah, he's too much passion for me, but he's good.
I have a question. You know, the worst thing you could do to a doctor today is you can go and tell the doctor, what are your symptoms? Yeah, I Googled it and it said my headache, right? They go crazy from that. They went to medical school for 8 or 9 or 10 years for you to tell them what you Googled. How do you view amateur or layman shidduchim? People come to you and they tell you, do you say, 1 second, I worked very hard, a lot of experience, you know nothing, or do you say, it's not medical symptoms, it's a rabbanan shalom, and you're as good as I am? How
there's
do you
no
that?
Such thing as an amateur. Why is their idea any less good than our ideas? They think it's a good idea. Meaning, Tzadok could, for example, I could read a shidduch and I know that the people are going to go back to Tzadok. So either I could say, don't ask Tzadok, or I could tell Tzadok beforehand, you know, this is what I read. You might not agree totally, but if there's no reason why you didn't see it, don't go and machavek from it.
I want to go back on something else. You know, I wasn't going to share this, and I don't know if we'll be happy that I am. Rabbi Lewinstein was my shadchan, and in those days, we sat next to each other downstairs in BMG. You weren't allowed to talk to him during Seder. So he came to first Seder, and he would tell me all the time, my wife wants a learning guy. I have to learn. You have to let me learn first Seder. It means, you know, don't. So I would call your wife by Beta Starm, I think it was. You were very, pretty inaccessible in the sense that you couldn't just go over anytime and talk. You know, once you started first Seder, then downstairs, in the, you know, then he was off limits till I was also off limits.
Right, during Seder.
You were looking to get married, so you were off limits.
Even during Musa say that.
All of it. But now you're always like, oh, you're going to go to Lancaster with your family on Ben Ezmanim, and you're going to pull into the shul, and there are going to be people coming over to you, right?
Yeah.
That there's no escape, and they know your faces, and we have this type of media today where everybody's public, and they know exactly what you look like. How do you do that?
Right. So
it's hard.
Yeah. Everybody's like stopping. You go to a chasna. You want to either enjoy or wish mal tov or go in and out because you have 5 chasnas tonight. No way.
So one thing is, you just at least people appreciate some level of responding, even if it's a text, even if it's a response. You learn how to over time. You adaptivity. You learn how to have shorter conversations with people and try to be more focused. And it is impossible to respond to everyone, and it is very hard. That's why it's a job that it is hard to be in the shidduch world. wherever I go, I went to a wedding out of town, and I did not walk into the hall. I did not walk. I have no idea how the hall looks. I flew to there, and I was in the hallway, and when the chassan came out, I made the shidduch. I gave them a little mazel tov, and it is very, very hard, but it is rewarding, and Klal Yisrael needs it, and you have very devoted shadchanim, like, you know. And there's a lot of other very good shadchanim that are not here that are unbelievable also. So it is hard.
It's hard, but, you know, we know what we got to do. We have a purpose, and, you know, people are in a lot of pain, and they really want help. So, yeah, it's hard sometimes. Like, you know, my wife's waiting in the car. I say, I'll be out in 2 minutes, and a half hour later, I'm still not out. But
they know, your wife and children know this already, this reality.
Yeah, yes, but that's what we're here for, so...
Do you sometimes feel like people like aren't normal around you because they're busy posturing that you should think of them as a guy next to you in shul or whatever? Like if you're there, are they on better behavior or people treat normal?
It's cute. I learned in yeshiva in the morning.
You started yeshiva in the morning?
Yeah.
You go to yeshiva first day until today?
Not the whole first day,
but you're there.
Yeah, I'm there.
Nice.
So I sit in the front. I make sure I don't turn around because I heard from a bacha once, you know, if Meir Levy turns around, we have to all of a sudden like look inside the Gemara. Yeah.
So it happens we were little, me and Lewinstein, we one time, we had nowhere to go, we were in Eretz Yisrael, and we went to meet boys, and the place we were supposed to go canceled, they had a kid or something, so we had to go, we had to find a dira, and there was no Jerusalem Estates then, there were no Waldorfs, so we invited ourselves to my cousin's dira, and they don't want to go, they don't want us, because they're like, they have to wake up on time, and they have to like, look like human beings, and we told them that if you're yourself, you'll get more points. Don't try to impress us.
Yeah,
and we slept there on the floor and actually made, I think, one or two of the boys shidduchim. And it was lachetz free. Everyone woke up exactly when they wanted to. And, you know, we try not to be pressured. But I do have some places that I have escape groups. I don't want to see, you know, everyone. But
I would think that it helps that, at least when you're dealing with yeshiva bachim, that you guys come from inside the system. So you're not
blind
to the realities.
So, like, if a guy, you know, yeah.
I was just in Eretz Yisrael this week. So Bacher took out a cigarette. He says, "Is it okay if I smoke in front of you?" I said, "I don't see you smoking."
Very good. Is smoking a question that a lot of the guys still ask? It's still a big thing.
More vaping
now.
It's
vaping.
Vaping but became the new thing.
Do they know that whether they say it or not, every Bacher vapes? Are they aware of this? Or?
I once got in big trouble. We had a thing in Lewinstein's house. What was it for, Rabbi Goldschmidt? Remember, we did a thing in the house with Kiga. And I said something about smoking, and I got a lot of pushback. And it's very hard to talk to different crowds. And in certain crowds, it's a little more accepted, if you like it or not. And in certain crowds, it's not.
Vaping, I don't know if anybody likes it, but
I
think it's just the
reality.
Accepted. But most people stop when they get married, right?
Or they never smoked.
The small percentage that smokes today, I would say right with them, if you're not a heavy smoker, if a guy takes a Chassan cigarette, there's nothing wrong with that. And yeah, I don't, and people will get all upset, but that's the fact. Every bacher at one point, you take a random cigarette. But
do you find yourself as Shadchanim in the position of having to tell mothers a lot and say, relax, this is a normal thing?
Yeah. Right?
Somebody told me he came to Zechmash at 9 o'clock or Assam smoking drunk at a Shabbos Huda, and you have to say, Hatsu, do you find yourself having to be?
It depends what they heard. Meaning if somebody came back to them and said, they heard that every Friday night this boy is drunk, what are you going to answer? You know, that's the information they found out, you know.
So then you tell them, I hear you.
Yeah, 100%.
But I'm just saying that the job of Shadchan, it goes into psychologist, it goes into Mashpia, it goes into a million other subcategories where you have to do those kinds of things. Probably doing a lot of economics for people also, and I'm sure people ask about them, how much do I need, what support, right? You must, and you have to figure out with them and...
Yeah, 100%. That's probably, in the days of the Gemara, the main thing was actually the Nadan. When you look at the Paiskim about what the Shatkin's job, they weren't busy with compatibility. There was no such thing as compatibility until like 100 years ago. So it was pretty much the Nadan. Halachically, all the sugyas of Shatkhanas, it was a brokerage on the Nadan. So it really was. It was no dating. They didn't have the Hyatt in Warsaw or something, like or Valaj in the like ocean place or something. It was mainly just
Warsaw,
like the
Hyatt.
It was mainly like, it was a lot of it's not. And it is a big pressure, because even before I make a shidduch, or suggest a shidduch, I have to know that it's basically, you're in the ballpark, you know what I mean?
So how are you supposed to know somebody's finances? The only what they tell you.
So either you just ask them, do you plan on doing the regular support, above support?
And they say, what's regular support?
So, you know, there's a basic bar. If it was rent, if it was a little more than rent, it depends on the girl's job. I find the girl's job is a little more important than the nadin because that's usually the bulk of it. But it is a very, it is very tedious, and it can be very annoying, actually, when you deal with
it. It all depends, because some people have this idea in their head, it has to come from the parents. I mean, that's...
They're not comfortable with the girl's
job. I've had stories where people would say, that's what she's making, what are the parents doing?
Because they want to feel like they're not losing out, or because they're worried that what if something happens?
It all
she can't
depends.
Work.
You know, you can't get into the mindset of every single parent. But like, I had a story. It was so comical. It was sad that they wanted the boy side to be mechayev to give a certain amount of money. So when the parents met, they said, "You know, how much are you being taking achrayas for?" And the parents of the boy were like, "You know, hey, we have a boy over here. He's a good boy. Like, you know, then." The girl side took it one step further. They said, whatever you'll do, we'll double. So the father thought about it, of the boy. He came back and says, you know what? I'm going to give $2,000, but since I'm coming out of my comfort zone, I want you to give $5,000.
For what? Just like little...
I'm not sure. Where, like, it got so out of control.
And you're sitting there and listening to these conversations.
I had a story where a father of a boy called me. A father of a boy who was very wealthy. And the girl's side wasn't as wealthy, but he said, I have a top son. They want me to go 50-50, but I have a top son. I feel like I'm not getting a good deal. So I told him, I said, you should be fighting them. I said, you have such a special son, and you want to give someone else the schus? I said, you should fight for the schus to support your son.
Did it work?
Yeah, I think so.
Let me ask you this. We're talking about the economics of Shaduchim. Let's talk about the economics of Shadchanas for a minute. I don't understand what a Shadchan does. That means there's no salary, there's no income, there's no fixed income. You get up in the morning, and I'm trying to imagine somebody who's trying to broker mortgages, for commercial mortgages, and he has no idea how many he's going to get done a day or not. You can't live like that. You can't look your wife in the eyes and say, okay, this is what we have for this week, because you never know what it's going to be. That's question A. And question B is, everything in the world went up. You can't fill up your car and gas. Like in pay what you paid 5 years ago. And I don't know if Shadchanas has gone up proportionally. Is that true, what
no.
I'm saying? It doesn't seem like it's gone up that much in the last 20 years. More or less, we're talking within the same
Since
ranges.
Since COVID, it actually did go up. I see it did go up. Like
Who decides that? Because this would be a good opportunity to have this conversation. Because people, I'm not experienced, but I married off a couple of kids, Baruch Hashem. So now my friends will call me. How much should I give? What Shadchanas? Nobody even knows.
So I'm going to give you something real quick. I'm going to try to oversimplify it a little. In Europe, there was for 500 years, the Aruch Shulchan brings down that there was a formula that was used for kamat all the years in Europe. It was between 2-3% of the nadin went for the each side had to give. It depends how hard it was. If there was a river in those days, the shadchan had to travel. So it was between 2-3% of the nadin each side gave. Now let's just say, what does nadin mean? Nadin doesn't just mean the monthly. It means all the clothing and the wedding for the chasana was a big thing. So if you take a minimal wedding today, and let's say you're giving $1,000 a month for 5 years, which a couple of years ago was accepted, today it's a little more. So let's say that's $60,000 plus the chasana. Let's say it's $100,000, okay? So it's $100,000 is the minimal nadin that one side gives. So in Europe, if it would be an easy shidduch, you would give $2,000. So $2,000 to $3,000 was in Europe. That means the poor man in Europe that was carrying the water was giving 2% of the nadin. So today, where I would say a minimal nadin is, I would say at least $150,000.
Nadin meaning the amount of what it's going to cost you just to get this done.
Right, to get her married cost, let's say, $150,000, probably a little more. So then, I don't know math, I'm a dropout, but what's the 2% of 150? So it's $3,000 to $4,000. Someone that's giving a $500,000 nadin, then 2% is 25, is whatever.
You don't have to answer the question. So I'm guessing you're not saying
I don't think anyone bases like it on that.
No, I'm just saying.
That's a fair starting point, because let's have this conversation. Like I said, people are watching this, and let them know. So no one has a clue. You can't Google how much a Shadchanah. So
I spoke to Rabbanim like 10 years ago on if we could create a model in America on how much to give based on the Europe. That means 10 years ago, Shadchan should have been about $2,000 a side. Like, just nothing to do with us. And it doesn't make a difference if you're professional, not a professional. Shadchan is the same amount. So I spoke to a big Rav, and he told me that to change a minig, you have to have a certain amount of people. It's called minig ha-soichrim. So to do minig ha-soichrim, what people give, you have to make a survey and you have to work on it. But I would say there is no actual minhag medina on how much to give. Now, just if some people think about it a lot, a shadchan, it's in a, beyond that, it's a very stressful job, and it's very hard to have success, you know, on a high ratio of, you know, dates per thing. And, you know, when people understand that and they really want to give it to you, then people are very nice. Some people, they it's the last thing they give, and they try to bargain you down, and like, you know, it turns a lot
I
of
think
people
only because it has the misfortune of coming at the same time as expenses.
Right. Also,
like most
if you would give an amount,
before.
If Al Shadchan would say, this is what we charge, so then people would give that. But Lamaisa, we're all nice guys, and we're not into the money, and it's very nakashmak to say, I want this amount of money. There are Shadchanim out there that throw a price tag, and I think it's not nice, but they are right on a certain way.
That's the only way they can keep doing it, and this is the only way they can keep doing it. You need them to do it.
I would say many, many, many Shadchanim burnt out. Because I have a very good friend, he was a great shadchan, and he burnt out because he did a real hard shidduch, and they were like nibbling on $650, and he was like, "Am I normal? I'm going into real estate in Lakewood," and you know, and we lost. I you know, so there's no really rule. Most people have a basic idea.
I have thoughts on this.
No, the question you asked originally, going into a year thinking, you're right, you have a family to support. And you don't know that any shidduchim are going to come from it. All the effort that you put
and kids that you're going to have to pay shadchanos for, right? That means
right.
I'm saying your life.
You could go months at a time without making shidduch. You could have a run that you made a bunch of them. Even the one if you make a bunch of them, doesn't mean you're getting major shadchanos either to pay for the months that don't happen. It is a very stressful thing that you know you're doing a job because the bottom line, this is a job where you don't know when you start the year anything's going to come from it. Baruch Hashem, it's worked out. You know, halavai vayta for everybody.
But I just want to add that. So it's a good question, and Baruch Hashem, you know, we're all making shidduchim, so we've been able to survive. There are extra things that have taken off the last few years. For example, we have an organization which is an amazing organization called Kesher. It's an organization in Lakewood where. There's a team of maybe 20 shadchanim that get together and 25 shadchanim.
They have meetings once a month where they bring down girls from all across the United States, different cities, different communities, different shuls, things like that, where they get to meet shadchanim, which they usually wouldn't get a chance to meet on one night. They can meet 15, 20 shadchanim.
That means any girl calls up Kesher says, put me in your database.
Yeah, all girls actually.
And what, I don't get what the idea is. What?
So the idea is that we come in there. I come twice a week. I'm not sure how. And we try to, A, help the...
And you actually meet girls?
Well, no, two different things.
The meetings take place about every 6 weeks that we meet 15, 20 girls.
No,
I'm saying the meeting the girls takes place every 6 weeks around. And we meet every 5-6 weeks, and we meet about 20 at a time. And we get together, we come to the office, we teach the
brainstorm.
Ladies. First, we tell them about boys, because the ladies don't have the same access that we have to
because
the boys.
Because
we're in the yeshiva, we're able to go in there. So we tell them about different boys, so they're able to come up with ideas. And then we also have times that we sit together when we brainstorm and work on some of the girls. So it's a beautiful thing because
it's going on for many years.
Moshe Bender was going on for years beforehand.
Mrs. Frommer is the
Mrs.
one
Frommer.
That...
They just had this idea to make...
To do
sort
this.
Of help you out and supplement.
Right, so Rabbi Bender took it upon himself to be able to pay.
He fundraises.
All those shadchanos get paid from us?
There's a lot of volunteers, a lot of people on salary. But one big thing is a lot of the new shadchanos in the last 5-10 years are all product of sitting and hanging around these shadchanos and
it's a shidduch office of 20 ladies who get paid full-time jobs?
No, some volunteers, some work, and a lot of people a lot of startup shadchanim do very well.
But there's no funding, it's all fundraised.
Yeah, but the beauty of it, this way you know that in a month that didn't make a shidduch, you know that you're getting a paycheck.
Right, because you're it's only you three who work
no,
with you?
No, there's other people.
But that means at least there's... So it's a win on both sides. It's a win for the girls and a win that keeps the shadchanim, that you at least know that there's something coming in.
And his goal is to let a shadchan be a shadchan. They don't ask. He doesn't ask questions. Who did you read? What did you read? What did you do? Just keep on doing.
Wow, you mean they're not giving every night feed in
right.
How many?
Right. Because a lot of times when those organizations, you met their people.
Kesher.
This name of this
people
is Kesher.
People should give them money because it's a publicly funded thing.
It is.
Why did they open it in Lakewood and not where they are, the Benders? Because Clarkson.
Well, this opened about 10, 15 years ago in Lakewood by Mrs. Frommer. But it wasn't, Ray Bender took it upon himself to be able to pay bigger salaries.
Amazing. So for the first time, there's something that a shadchan can get if they're associated with this. And you said you counsel all the younger. What would you tell them?
There's a few new young men shadchanim that come to the office every single day. They're doing very nicely, very nice people. We give them a shout out.
It's a very interesting thing. I know this from you in the past, Meir. You told this to me. In any other profession, you obviously don't want competition, right? You know, so as much as people say, oh, I wish there was more from male writers, you know, whatever. Yeah, they could move to Israel. But, you know, mamash. Now, you know, if you're talking and you help and you try to be a good guy, and but maybe not too many, right? You know, and you guys are always looking to encourage more people to watch Shadochim, right? That means if a young guy comes to you and BMJ says, I'd be a Shadochim, you say yes.
We work together.
Yeah, we help.
Yeah, now, also, we train the men. I try to give a few Shidduch courses for Shadchanim to help them be Shadchanim because. Again, a lot of people have talent, and we need tons of new shadchanim. There's plenty of room for competition, and even with all us living in the same area.
Okay, it's not fair because the other two are going to have time to think. We're going to start to cut this one because I don't want you to have time to prepare an answer. Give me 30 seconds why someone should be a shadchan. It sounds like it's not such an easy life. Go.
So if you have, if you could help Klal Yisrael in a very specific way, that today's shidduchim is definitely one of the biggest things in Klal Yisrael, and if you could, first of all, if you build make a shidduch, you have dayrus of dayrus. There's an unbelievable amount of schar and pleasure, and it's something that is so needed. And if you could somehow structure your life that it doesn't actually take over your life, it's just the most satisfying thing is to make a shidduch.
Shlomo.
As we all know, shidduchim is such a big need in today's generation, and. That's what keeps us going, the people that need it, and how could you stop? Another thing that I was just in Eretz Yisrael, and I met, I would say, 5-6 boys, where I was the parent shadchan, including your own son. And I can't tell you, it was the most satisfying thing. It felt so good, you know, to see grown-up kids that, you know, makes it worthwhile.
Wow, that must be something.
Repeat the question again.
If you could talk to a young guy, he could do a lot of things. So real estate's down now. I get it. But he could still go on Amazon and make a lot of money. Why should he go into Shadochim? He wants to have a panasa. Everybody wants to do good for Klal Yisrael. Give me a 30-second pitch. Shadchanim, to be a good Shadchan, you have to be talented with people, nothing to talk about. You have to have a certain level of insight. I mean, you have to be a smart guy and understanding people. You have to have a lot of energy. If you have those three skills, you could do anything. So why should I be a Shadchan?
It's a very hard thing to expect people to go into it, especially the fact that shidduchim are very hard to make, and your success is, even the most successful shadchan in any given year, could, let's say, make 35, 40 shidduchim, let's say, on his best year, and that's a lot. So, again, you have to have a calling that this is what you want to do. You want to help out the world, and it's a beautiful thing because the sipa you get when something does happen, when shidduch does happen, is the most unbelievable feeling. You go to a chasana, and like you cause sometimes you get emotional. You stand there on the side, and like, you know, it's. I just happen to have made a shidduch of a boy who doesn't have parents, both parents. It's like I went to the bar. I was like, oh my gosh! Like, and he was taken in by a beautiful family, and. The feeling is unbelievable.
It's beautiful. Now, how do you deal? You see a lot of pain and a lot of failure every day. That means you deal with people. I'm sure there's people that you want to help so badly, girls and boys, and for whatever reason, the Renshom didn't decide it's time yet, and the doors are not opening as fast as you'd like them to, and you have to face them and see them again and again. Where do you find chizuk and strength? And it's a very emotionally debilitating job. Where do you find the chizuk and what? What keeps you going? What keeps them going?
So it's a hard question because sometimes it's very hard. You go, you know, you work. First of all, a lot of people don't know that you're working for them. And you try shidduchim, and then they see you and they think that you didn't help them and you really did, but you don't want to tell them that you got to know. Your whole life is like on the edge. You're on a tightrope and you want to always help people. And you just, there's a lot of joy and there's also pain. So you have to learn how to, what's the word? Compartmentalize it.
What would you tell those people? What are you telling?
Nothing. That means the real chizuk at the end of the day, without all our stuff, the Gemara in Moed Khan, the famous story that Rav Meir heard someone davening to marry a certain girl, I think it was Shmuel, and Shmuel said, don't daven for a specific girl. Why? Because if it's the wrong one, you're going to end up being kaifer ba. It's a shayla I had to learn. We're not going to discuss it. And he says, if not, loy tezel minei. That's lashon of the Gemara. That, because she's not going to leave you. It means Hashem decides who you're marrying, and that's life. Loy tezel minei means your Bashar is not running away from you.
Do so, you see that every day? Do you see evidence of...
Unfortunately, we don't, because unfortunately, there's singles on the boys' side and the girls' side that you don't see the nice...
No, but I'm saying, do you have enough... Rabbi Lapiansky has said more than once that, you know, I asked him a lot about what I do for a living and writing stories. Like, you have these stories come out, and you read the Malach Biederman pamphlets, and every guy who missed the plane was... And every guy who met that guy ended up... So he says, no, not every story has a happy ending, but the Ben Shalom shows you just enough that you should know that every story has a happy ending. So sometimes he lets you see it to keep you going, to give you the chizuk to know that I orchestrated every story. Do you see that in Shaduchim too? Do you see enough happy things you say, wow?
Totally.
You do?
Yes, of course.
You see enough things you say, wow, years I'm checking, and boom, you see a lot of that.
Actually, I listened to Rebbe Lapiansky, and he was giving a shiur on Rus, and he was saying one of the differences between, from the Nachas Yosef, he was saying one of the differences between Rus and by Eiv, he said by Rus, they saw all the stuff leading into the good. You saw all the tragedy, but you saw the good, how it evolved into the good ending. By Eiv, it was just bad and it turned good. So he said there. So I do see, let's say, even people that have certain challenges, sometimes you see how, in the long run, you have to have a lot of patience, how it landed them where they're supposed to be. So you do see a lot of Siyat Tishmaya, and I guess that's the chizik.
You mentioned people with challenges. What would you tell them? Somebody suffers some kind of mild disorder or less mild. So they don't really know what to say. There's no clear answer. Should they go? Should they say it before? Then no one's going to go out with them. If they don't say it before, then they're just going to set themselves up for failure because they'll go out on a few dates and then they'll say, by the way, I suffer or whatever. This is my situation. And then it's over. And what are they supposed to do? They're walking into...
So anyone that has a challenge, I would say it's kedai to discuss. I would say all three of us are people that, A, are trustworthy, that we're not going to talk to other people about it. You know, it's not going to come out. But also that you could try to guide the people and say who's going to be okay with whatever challenge they have.
You're saying if somebody has, Rahman al-Tzan, they suffer from OCD, bipolar, very severe anxiety, whatever that can be, just talk this out of them. So they'll go four times, they'll like each other, and then they're going to tell them, and then they'll say, I'll get back to you. And I assume in most cases, not really, we're not sure. And so you're saying come to either of you before. That means secrecy is obviously
very discreet.
The most important.
I don't get drunk on Purim because I have too many secrets.
Because you have, wow.
Same thing.
Really?
I've said that for years.
Really?
I won't drink because I don't know what will come out.
Because you know too much. Wow.
That could be for other reasons.
The person comes to you and they tell you, this is my thing. That means besides that, their secret is safe. There are girls or boys, depending what it is, who are either dealing with similar things or willing to overlook it because, and you'll put them together?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you put two people together that both have some sort of challenge, but other times there could be other reasons why someone would go for a person with, you know, maybe something in the family that's, whatever it is.
But you have a database in your mind of people.
But it's not so public. Most people try the regular way till they've burnt enough times. They'll go out to the 24 years old and you never understand why such a great boy is still single. Then all of a sudden one day you get a phone call, blocked number. You pick up the phone, hi, I don't want to say my name. I have a son who, excellent boy, but suffers from whatever it might be. I'd rather not tell you my name, but do you have girls that could be compatible for such a type of thing?
So the parents block the number, they call you up and you probably know who it is because you know the...
Yes
whatever,
or no, depends irrelevant. If you came across it in a different story.
So then they say, I'm not telling you my name, but here's the situation. And what would you say?
It's very limiting because...
So you would say, come to me straight. That's what you're saying from here.
That's what you're... Like, wow. I had a shirk that was going out. We went out five times. They were on cloud nine. It was unbelievable. All of a sudden, it was an out-of-town girl. The boy flew out there. The next day, I get a phone call. It's over. I said... And the girl side wasn't so discreet. They said, it's not over because of us. Obviously, he flew out there, told them something was wrong with himself, and they couldn't move forward. You know, that boy, I had in the back of my mind, obviously, if something comes up, you know, this is the type of guy you want to go to, but it's not
but
the boy
had
told me.
But you hadn't known before you had the shidduch.
No, I didn't know anything.
So
I,
you wish you would have known
know.
Before.
I still didn't know. The boy didn't tell me afterwards either. He moved along. He tried regular, you know.
He kept going, thinking
he kept
that
going, hoping that some at some point he's going
to,
you know.
And you're saying you would prefer, come to me, l'chatchila.
It depends. They have to be comfortable doing that. I mean, this really, I had discussed with you, I really think this is a beautiful idea that I wanted to speak to Tara Masaira, that there should be somebody in every 12th grade, there should be a person designated to call every single 12th grade school, boy or girl, and call them and say, hi, I'm calling from Tara Masaira. If there's any child in your school who has any type of medical situation, psychological, mental, whatever it might be, we will create a file for them. You don't have to tell us anything more, just your what it's about. This way, when that child in 4 years now, with the coming of shidduch age, and they have a problem, and they're frustrated because every time they try to go out, where after Rabbanim tell you, after the fourth date, you have to tell the other side, and they're frustrated, they can come back to Tara Masaira and say, listen, I am file number 26. Do you have something which is compatible with my child's situation?
You can't make a shidduch based on that.
It's a start.
You can't just two people start. That have a problem.
It's the same problem. It's not the same problem.
It has to be a shidduch. It can't be.
Okay, but why can't you do what he's saying? I just come to you, and then you see the face.
Of
you see
course,
the person.
It has to be. It's not just based on a problem.
But I'm hearing something. I'm hearing a chiddush. I never heard. I'm not that experienced in shidduch. But you're saying something here that sounds groundbreaking to me, unless I'm missing it. That people who have any kind of issues, and there are many, and Baruch Hashem, I think Klal Yisrael has availed themselves to excellent therapy services, and more parents are realizing that at the stigma. In great credit to Mishpacha magazine and others that talk about this, because I don't think it's unsafe to say that probably, I would say at least two out of the people in this room are ADHD for sure.
I have the whole alphabet.
Maybe three, for sure. We don't have problems saying these things anymore, but maybe even a little proud of it. There's a lot of stigma has gone down. You're saying, come to me, your secret is safe with me. And I know girls who suffer from those same things, or if they don't suffer from it, are dealing with the same things. And you could have a happy life instead of going through this.
But you don't know how many people you think you know. Shlomi, tell me how many think you know.
What?
People with problems.
Numbers or
a number? Throw out a number. How many Bachram you think in yeshiva you know?
Actual Bachram?
Yes.
I'd rather not. Whatever.
So I don't. I don't know a lot.
Yeah, I do. I don't want to make a number.
Maybe if they came out of here knowing that they could tell you the truth and they could finally be free of this burden. Imagine, I'm thinking about the Gehenna of somebody, boy or girl, is going out knowing that they're going to have to say something that's going to end it. And so what? Even a first date's not exciting.
So I didn't take my chance to darshan, and now I'm going to take my chance.
You did, so but you could still.
There's a time.
I think I like always going back to like the makar. Like, there's no tshuvas form that discuss when to discuss a medical issue. Now the reason is because in Europe there was no dating time. So either you have to say, or you don't have to say. There was no space like, oh, by the third date. So you sat down for an hour and you got engaged. So all the place can discuss what has to be told before you get married. If it's a mekach tois, if it's not a mekach tois. See, the Rav Moshe Zatzal was the first one to discuss. A girl had a certain issue, and he said maybe discuss it, go out a few times, and then discuss it, and then evolved into the third date, fourth date. I have sort of a line that I believe very strongly, that something that's life-altering means it's life-altering, then you don't wait for a third, fourth date to say that. That has to be done before, and maybe like Meir Levy or like Shlomi Lewinstein said, come to the Shadchanim and be open, and they'll be discreet, and they'll try to figure something out. But if you pop out something on a fourth date that's life-altering, I personally don't think that's right. If something that's hard or
okay,
complicated.
Different Rabbeim and different schools.
No.
The Hasidic community deals with it.
No, 100%. So I just think that there are certain things. You have to speak to a very chash v'rav, not just a person that has a shul in his basement. You have to have someone that's experienced with medical and maybe a doctor and someone with you need someone with common sense. I think that's a big problem today is that a lot of times it's being done in a way without common sense, and you need someone that has common sense. And I do think it's a good idea, and a lot of people do confide with me that they have an issue, and I try to find, it could be a different type of challenge. Sometimes there's actual mum, someone has a problem, and then there's a shidduch mum. Let's say someone just has a broken shidduch. There's nothing wrong, but they have some kind of challenge, a side challenge, and they're willing to take something. So I think it is very smart to be in open with a shadchan before. Obviously, honest and discreet shadchan. And there are people that deal exclusively with medical shidduchim. I know everyone knows Mrs. Right, Most.
Then it becomes
Spiegel,
like a little bit of a stigma.
Right, no, right.
I'm saying something new here, which
no,
is
her success
not
is
special.
You never know what shidduch she made.
Right, she's a non. Nobody
knows any shidduch she made.
What does she do? How do they, who's the shadchan?
No, they don't advertise it. Put on someone else's name.
Hard. Well, I want to just ask a side question you made me think of. It's, I'm curious your reaction to this thing. Just off topic a minute. Somebody told me this week that they have an excellent son. They have excellent daughter. Every shadchan calls for the son because everybody wants him. She says, okay, first Rebbe Yishalach for the daughter. You like, don't like, right, wrong.
So I actually have it also.
It sounds a little...
I have a son and I have a daughter in Shadochim. And, you know, I always used to make a joke that for a son you need a secretary and for a girl you need an agent. And unfortunately, you do see it. You could have an excellent girl and an excellent boy. And this is one of the million-dollar questions. Why is there such a disproportion? Every girl needs one boy. So something really doesn't make sense. But, you know, I can't... There are definitely some boys that have quiet phone calls and girls that get a ton of calls. So there definitely is... Not
do you,
an automatic
do you
boy,
approve of the, someone doing that or not? Do you think it's disgusting?
Someone just read me a
It depends how serious they are. It depends how serious they are about it. It's not any different somebody when you call a parent show, they say, why did you pick this idea for my child? What made you think so? So I tell them, you know what? I took a dartboard, I threw a dart, and landed on that name. That's why I called you.
And they laughed.
And you call me back tomorrow with a yes.
But one thing I think is not fair, if people call you up and say, you work on my daughter, and then I'll say, oh, your son's engaged. And like, no, but like, we really don't need you. So then I say my famous thing in the Reader's Digest I once saw, that there's a store that says we buy garbage and we sell antiques, right? So for you it's garbage. So like that I get, I really don't appreciate that. Like they'll tell me work on my daughter, but my son's off limits from you. That I don't appreciate.
And people do that because they understand.
It depends. There's some people that are not like that. But let's say for me, if someone reads my shidduch, I'll say, by the way, do you mind just keeping my daughter in mind?
But what,
I'll never use
another question.
Leverage.
The mothers of boys, I don't know if you call it like a soft yes or something. Like they changed. The rules suddenly changed. That if you have a girl and you get, the boy is either 10th of it, you have like 15 seconds to answer. Or else you're not getting it. Like, as if your child is less important because of their gender, and you don't have to say, that's okay?
One thing we do, and all the shadchanim have the same idea, we go to the boy first to try to get a yes from the boy. Now, the reason is, it's really to protect the girls, because since there's so many more, boys are getting so many more names, so many girls are getting no's. So if you tell 10 girls, look into this boy, and they all come back with a yes, and 9 of them are getting no, so you're gonna end up hurting the girl. Therefore, it was always done that come with a full yes. Now, there's a new thing that the generation became so weak that the parents are scared to tell their boy that they might get a no. So I saw this mamash recently, last year, that they'll say, can we give you a soft yes, feel them out, and then if they say, yeah, we're going to continue listening. And I'm not a nice guy. I'm not such a nice guy.
And my answer to
my son might not. My son might get
hurt. Is that why the parents are doing it? Because the son might get hurt?
Yeah.
What about the daughter's feelings? The daughter gets no's?
No, so this is rigged against the girls again. Because the girl...
I said to them, I said, 9 times out of 10, you'll do that. You come back...
They should say no to the girl after.
Say no to the girl,
yeah. You go to the girl and say, listen, the boy's interested. They're not finished, but if you show an interest...
I could get you
in their ear, they heard you say they got a yes. They come back a day later, oh, he sounds great. Could you get us a yes? You come back to the boy, oh, that one that we gave a yes to 3 months ago just came back last night, said yes. I won't do it.
I wait for the full
field. So let me hear each of you say, start with you, Mayor. What would your parents have their oldest child, they're starting shidduchim, boy, girl, makes a difference. Tell me like the things that you would want from them that you expect them going in.
You meet them, you get a feel.
What does it mean to be a mensch in shidduchim? What would you expect from parents of a boy, let's say? Only work with you? That means...
No.
You wouldn't want that. But then you don't have this problem of saying yes.
No, you can't... I get such a kick out of it. When people come to meet you, like they seem like your best friend. And you're thinking, wow, their mom's thinking you're going to be the shadchan. Then you go to a chassid and you see them talking to a different shadchan. They look even more friendly with that other shadchan. Thinking like, you know, like, oh, I thought I was their shadchan. Uh-huh. People have to try. You have to throw your coins into every, cup to try it and see where it goes.
Let's just say that you're not seeing the best part of people. Like, how do you keep an eye on Taiva? You're seeing parts.
You do see when they come. They they're well behaved. You know, like when you're going through ideas and you see could feel the wife signaling to the husband. Like don't say that. Don't say this. Well, like somebody kicked on the table. I said they kicked you. You know what I'm saying?
Sadek mentioned boys and girls on the shidduch crisis. I don't know data and numbers, and this is not a topic that we could sit here in 20 minutes or so and there are more boys coming out of the system, let's say. A lot of efforts over the last few years from well-funded efforts with Gedalia Yisrael at the helm in many cases to push boys to go out any younger. Has it made a difference? Are you seeing a big difference?
If you're mature enough, yes. If you're not mature, just
you're
say
you're if you're mature enough, then a boy should go out younger?
Yes, then why not?
Let me ask you a quick question. Boy's 21, he's mature enough to get married, but he's really learning well and he wants to go to Yisrael for a year. And we all know, everybody learned in Yisrael knows that if it worked, then it's invaluable. It changes your whole life. So you should give up on that year. I'm just curious for that.
So it's a very... The problem is that it became like a talk, but it's really there's halacha and then there's hashkafa. The halacha is that you just it's often the shulchan aruch good up seven aleph and beis and Ebenezer. A boy has to get married at 20. Now there's a clause that if you're really sitting and learning and you're not going to worry about money and you're not going to think about things that you shouldn't, then you're allowed to wait. And the marshal and the mishmur says the maximum is 25. So the mechaber gives you a 20 to 25 thing. Now the Rosh Hashivas, Rav Shach, and all the Gedolim, it was the age was 21, 22, but they had like guidelines, a boy has to be real sitting and learning. So if a boy comes and says, listen, I want to get married, and I remember Rav Chaim Stein in Cleveland, Zatzal, his yard sale was last week, he also said, if a bachur is starting to talk about that he wants to get married, let him get married. Now, I spoke to Kamal, all the Rosh Hashivas.
That's not the question of letting him, the question is something else.
No, so the question is, a boy's 21, he wants to get married, there's no reason not to get married.
Are you seeing a change?
You can learn better. If a guy says, so go to Israel, or Meir Stern, I know he's very into, go after when you're married. And
say boys go straight to Israel, to like a lot of them.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that you can learn and you can
Are you seeing that it's working, this idea of bringing more boys into the market?
I think guys are starting.
Not enough more boys.
It's becoming more accepted. It's not a revolution, but it's becoming definitely more accepted.
But there is a trickle of more boys coming in.
You can read a 21-year-old boy, and they're not going to say, why is he so young?
I just had a boy, 20. He was still in learning in a local yeshiva, and he banged his mind. His father called me out. My son wants to get married. And I actually think he's getting engaged tonight, but he's turning 20 on Rish Chodesh Av. He's young, but he wants to get married, and he's mature. And boys
who decides maturity? The parents?
So I asked the yeshiva who decides the maturity. He goes, I know my boys, but usually
the yeshiva should say.
Usually the parents know. If he's mature, he wants to get married. Let him get
it was
married.
A trip. I didn't follow up to, like, people went from America to Israel to Michelle Hirsch to... What's that story? Is the, are they things, like the, do they move the needle? What do they want to do?
It sounds like there's the over time, and I think it's a hashpah from the world. If you look at the census on in America, when people got married, in the last 60 years, it went up 8 years. That means in 1940, the average age was 23, and it went up to 30. So I think we did have hashpah from the Goyish world, and guys are lazy, and they want to get married later. And there is a pushback that boys should start much younger, cut out maybe a year of extra, you know, in base medrash, or instead of kindergarten starting. There's different ways how to bring in the boys a year early, which will be a huge thing for Klal Yisrael if that happens.
Do we need, so you're saying, then but you guys are a lot situated in Lakewood, in the yeshivas. Now that you're opening up to that age, you don't know every bachur who's 20. That means how should people even...
It happens.
They'll end up in Lakewood. If they're getting married early, they come to Lakewood earlier.
A lot of them don't go to Lakewood. They go to Tarif Das, go to Bashar Wives.
You know who
we are. And we're not the only Shadchanim in the world. There's hundreds of people that are Shadchanim and they get married.
We'll make our ways around. Let's see it happen, hopefully.
Sleeping on dirim floors. Ramea, what would you tell, Shana Rishana couples between themselves don't always have what to talk about, so they end up getting Shadchanim. That becomes like a fun activity for Shana Rishana between Bagel and Valdadesh. And the people who are friendly with other couples, maybe, like... Does that work for you? It's a big... What would you tell them? Because they have a lot of passion for Shadchanim. Usually, they're both coming into marriage with a lot of single friends who they want to help. It's also... They're still, like, rearing to go. Does it work?
And they usually try once or twice. They get shot out of the sky, and they give up.
What do you mean shot out of the sky? They call it
They back. Call up and say, how do you know my son? How old are you? You're a Shadchan? Well, you just got married. You think it's a good idea? And they don't try again. So...
Why aren't you training them? What would you do for...
So, there's going to be a new thing, a new initiative coming out. Stay tuned about how to...
For real.
Okay. To encourage young couples to, if they don't want to read the Shadchanim themselves, to give over the ideas to Shadchanim to read it for them.
Come up with the idea, and when you call the mother, you have more credibility.
Right. Correct.
So when I give a Shadchanim course, I started off, I said, to protect burnout, the best thing is, first bounce your idea off a Shadchanim. Call Lewinstein, Levy, call whoever you want and say, listen, is this basically a good idea? Then have the Shadchan read it, and you'll get your third, whatever the halacha is, And then that saves you from burnout.
Because money is in their heads a little bit.
I mean, no, because they work hard and then they come, they don't, the wife's
so you factor in the finances.
You factor in the finances and I don't care.
We're not cutting you out of a deal.
You're getting part of it. You're not going to burn out. You're going to be encouraged.
So it is a lot for just the idea and then you get out of the way. You don't have to do the hard work.
Right. So you're getting free money. You speak to the Shadchan to make sure that your ideas are
and how do they reach you? How do they give over the idea to you?
They send a text and we really are, people like stereotype Shadchanim. If you take my phone right now, I don't mind looking at it now. But we respond to most people. There's still a lot that we don't. But
we're
most.
Ending anyhow.
Yeah,
so
but Mayor's program.
Getting
is.
Back to what you were asking,
you don't need a program for that. But the just call a shotgun and say just. Yeah,
but there is something that we are going to do, whether Tzaddik agrees with it or not, which is fine. It's going to be called Newly Reds. It's going to be
Newly Reds.
Newly Reds.
It sounds like a girls' organization.
Great name.
That's fine.
It's like a camp.
It's going to be for anybody. Calm him down, please. Anybody ages 19 to 99 could register this way. You send it in. It's going to be emailed over to the secretary. It's going to be given over to the Kesher office in Lakewood. As we expand, it'll be given over to all Shidduchim offices across. Let's say somebody had an idea: a boy from Houston and a girl from Alabama. The Lakewood Shadchanim are not going to know that person, but the Houston office might, so you're going to go give over the idea to them. If any idea is going to come from, if a date comes from this, the young couple is going to be compensated. It's going to be, details will be forthcoming. It will be in the Mishpacha magazine.
So you guys really don't stop. Like I have to say, I know a lot about Zechem Atal, that you know, that carries the name of Shlaima's mother, and that we've been in touch over the years, and I've reached out to you, Mayor, for help, for Chassanim, I knew, who are in financial. Very quickly, because really at a time, there's a lot of Hachnas Kala. Not every Chassan is able to get the hat, suit, machzayim, jewelry, whatever he needed. And you guys saw that need, and you ended up doing fundraising besides everything else you do. So you created this organization, Al Shem of Shlaima's mother.
And this year is probably going to be $1.8 million is going out to Chassanim.
Given out to Chassanim, right?
And how many Chassanim? So over 400?
Really, you got. I'm going to end with this thought. You've done something remarkable, and you guys have changed the new definition of a shadchan is about a psychologist asking a social activist. You're doing a lot of things in the course of the day. Thank you for taking time to come in. Rosh Hashem should crown your efforts with that tzlacha. We should share some. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.